called the DNA of world changers. We're looking at the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11, and looking and saying, well, what are the characteristics and what are the qualities that are ours in Jesus that we can display, that we can show, that we can demonstrate to a world that hasn't yet discovered how good God is? We've been using the metaphor of DNA, you know, this building block of life that dictates so much about us, to describe these God qualities that are ours in Christ Jesus. They're characteristics that are ours as born-again believers, as followers of Jesus, and as children of Father God. Now, I don't know whether you look like your mom or whether you look like your dad. I was telling folks last week, I look like my mom's side of the family. I'm a twin. And my twin brother looks like my dad's side of the family. He's taller than me, thinner than me. I'm not. I'm shorter, and let's just not go there right now, okay? But I look like my mum's side of the family, like my uncles. You know, my mother's own surname was Felgate. And I lived in Greenock, and sometimes when my family gathered and say, oh, there's a Felgate. Actually, no, I'm an Allen, but, you know, I've got the Felgate traits and qualities that would be about me, the DNA that's passed down, you know, just from generation to generation. And the DNA that's ours in Jesus. The DNA that Jesus is described as being the second Adam, the one who came to restore everything that was lost by humanity when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. And Jesus comes and he restores it back to us. We're using this metaphor to describe it. The DNA of world changers. God wants to change your world in order that you might change your world and the world for him. One of the things that we noticed last week was that with DNA and forensic medicine, that every contact leaves a trace. That every contact leaves a trace. So a hair from a head can be found in a crime scene, and enough DNA in there to be able to determine who that is. Your fingerprint that can be there that leaves contact and trace as well. And thinking, therefore, that every contact that we have with God leaves a trace of God, his impact in our lives. So every time that we come and that we engage with the living God, as we have done in worship, as we have done in prayer, as we are doing right now through his word, we'll leave a trace, an impact, and an imprint of God in our lives. Why? So that we feel good, so that we feel great, so we feel happy to have been here. Well, as a byproduct, yes, but primarily so when we go out into the world so that we can change the world, so that we can carry the kingdom of God, so that we can make God's difference through what we do, what we say, who we are, and what we carry in God. His gifting, his empowering, his anointing, the Bible word to describe that. The power of God in our lives. Are you up for some of that? We've discovered from Hebrews chapter 11 that now faith is at the center of the DNA of world changers. The writer to Hebrews wants to unpack and work out what that actually means. And like a scientist who unravels the human genome, which if you're to lay out all the strands of DNA on a line that would be making up the human body, and who we are, then it would go the length of 70 trips from here to the sun and back. 70 trips, that would be the distance of it. And this morning, as we look at Hebrews chapter 11, in particular verse 3, the writer to the Hebrews begin to lay out through the Old Testament what the world changer's DNA in God looks like. And if you like, verse 3 of Hebrews 11 talks about the Genesis genome, of going back your brain in God's beginnings. Let's read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1. Through to 3, so we set it in just a little bit of context for this morning. Hebrews 11 in verse 1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Take a little moment, if you would, to turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. And let's read that initial account. Just so we can see and know exactly what we're talking about. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 says this, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, first day. And God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate the water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. And God called the expanse sky. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear. And it was so. And God called the dry ground land. And gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees in the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kind, and trees bearing fruit with their seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be light in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light in the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light in the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was... And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth, across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing which with water teems according to their kinds, every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was... God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase in the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures moving along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, and livestock according to their kind, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves in the ground. Then God said, I will give you every seed-bearing plant in the face of the whole earth, every tree that is fruit with seed in it, and it will be yours for food, and all, to all the beasts of the earth, and all the beasts of the air, and all the creatures that move in the ground, everything that has breath in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. A writer to Hebrews here, he uses this imagery of God creating the heavens and the earth in the story of Genesis. And in verse 3 there, that says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. He begins to be like an artist that paints a picture. I don't know how many of you came during the Fringe performances that was on here when we were venue 132, 1,400 people across the doors in the month of August for the Fringe shows that was on, but I don't know how many of you saw and spotted Marcus painting and creating the piece that's still out there. And like any artist, he created the backdrop first. The framework that would provide the backdrop to everything that he was going to paint and everything that was going to be right up there and right up front and up close and personal. So the writer to Genesis, or the writer to Hebrews, goes back to the beginning, goes to the book of Genesis, to the book of beginnings, to the starting point of the world and God, of creation and God, of man and God. And it's this backdrop to the unfolding story of history, of God's salvation plan, the backdrop and the starting point of the world changer, Many people have got the big questions all about life. Where did I come from? Why am I here? What's my purpose? How can I make sense of this thing called life? And what's one of the things that Alpha helps people to discover and uncover is that there is a God who is both creator and father, a God who loves them with such an incredible and an almighty love. And we can read about his rescue plan right the way back in Genesis. But Genesis provides this backdrop that's there, the starting point of the world changer. Why? Because it involves faith, and it also involves understanding. The invitation is actually to have words that many people in the world would see as almost being contradictory. The word faith and the word understanding. And lots of people would almost say that you can't have the two together. You know, faith is about the invisible. Faith is about the future. Faith is about belief in and for the impossible. Whereas understanding is about things that we've learned. Things that we know, things that can be rationally tested, that can be broken down and put back together again, that we know and that we understand. Great 20th century theologian Donald Guthrie said, if explanations concerning creation was restricted to phenomena which can be tested, then no faith can be needed. If you can work it out, then you don't need faith. But yet, if we're going to be a world changer, if we're going to activate the DNA of the world changer that is within us, then we need to have faith. And last week, we unpacked verse 1 and into verse 2 about now faith, of being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We looked at how the ancients were commended for that. We need things that are beyond us that stretch our faith. When we were on holiday in July, we were in France, and on the campsite that we were on, there was one of these climbing towers. I don't know if you've seen them. You know, it's four-sided. One side has got a climbing wall. One side has got an abseil that's about 30 meters up high, and you abseil down. A zip slide. One side has got an abseil, and the other side has got a trapeze. And you get to climb up what can only be described as inch-thick straps of wood. Up some kind of 15, 20 meters, you get to then navigate onto the tiniest of platforms. Well, how wide am I? Yeah, that's about how wide the platform is when you get there. And for fun, you have to leap out and take a hold of a trapeze. A steel trapeze that's out there, and you're supposed to leap out and jump and catch a hold of it. We booked these tickets for the kids. And there was also a family deal that was on, which seemed a good deal at the time. You know when you get a good deal at the time, that's not exactly. And so Fraser and Laura are kind of scampering up there, you know, quite easily and quite the thing, and up there. And then it's my turn. Now, I've watched programs on the telly where people have jumped out onto these things. I have to hold my hand up and confess that I'm one that stood there and said, come on, get on with it. What's the problem? You're only just stepping out and you're leaping out into, you're going to be able to catch it. You do have safety ropes and harnesses attached to you, so you're okay. But I tell you, my palms were sweaty climbing up there. My knees were knocking. Going up there, your heart is pounding and thudding in your chest, and you get there and you're standing, and I'm actually thinking, show no fear, kids are watching, show no fear, you're all strapped up, what could possibly go wrong? But then you're standing there, and there was a photograph that was taken of us. I wish I'd looked it out, maybe I will, for where we're talking about faith and that whole thing of leaping out into faith that's there, and the look of sheer terror that is on my face as I'm there, and I thought I was just steadying myself, but it looks as though you're up against this little ledge. And you know what? In that moment in time, I looked more like my dad than I did like my mum's side of the family. Honestly, if you saw the photo zoomed in, I looked like my dad. I don't know whether he always had a fear of sense of panic about him or anything like that, but I looked like my dad. And you're there, and you're at that moment, and you're thinking, there's no way back. Because I can't even turn around to that, and there's no rungs up here that I can begin to hold on to climb. You're going to have to go, you're going to have to leap, you're going to have to jump. And I think possibly for the first time, on that little platform, in Le Croix de Vieux Pont campsite in the northeast of Paris, I got a revelation of what it is to truly leap and jump, take that leap of faith. Where you're without a safety net, but you're with the safety net of God's grace and of God's mercy. Or maybe we sang this morning of talking about walking in the water, and you understand the Bible story of disciples going to the other side of the lake and a storm whipping up, and it's a little bit kind of going on there, and all of a sudden they see Jesus walking across the water. And Simon Peter, the disciple, says, "Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come." And Jesus says, "Come." And he gets out of the boat and he walks in the water. It then says his eyes got off Jesus and on the waves, and he began sinking. And he said, I had to cry to Jesus to save him. And Jesus saves him and rescues him. And maybe you're in this place today and you don't have faith, but you know that right now there's a tug, a pulling of your heart that's inside. And you know that some of this stuff, at the very least, needs to be explored. And you have understanding. Maybe you've got a history and a legacy of knowing things about God. But to know God requires a leap of faith. And maybe this morning there is the invitation from God. Well, maybe it's to get out the boat. Maybe the invitation from God is to leap from the ledge and take that leap of faith. Maybe the invitation from God is to by faith understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Why? Because if he's the God of the impossible, then he might but just be the God of your impossible. Because if he's the God of the past, then he might be the God of your past. And if he's the God of the future, then he might just be the God of your future. That you can leap into the rest of your life with the trust and with the faith that God is with you, that God is for you, that God is your safety net. But he's more than a safety net. See, Jesus is your Savior. He's your friend. He's your Lord. He's your brother. He's your master. But we need things that are beyond us to stretch our faith. You know, if you'd said, "Gordon, can you jump off a little ledge and you're going to be safe?" I'd have said, "No problem. Yeah, you go first." And the kids did. What a good father. On you go, up you go. But in theory, I knew I could jump and I would be fine. You know, I jumped. I can even jump and I can grip like that. Then after you do it once, they move it further away and you jump, and further away and you fall. And the analogy falls down there. But jumping into the arms of God. We need things that will stretch us in faith. Things that are beyond you stretch your faith. Have you noticed that in those moments where you face a crisis, where you face a problem, where you face a situation that is bigger than you, then all your skills and all your training, all the personality that you've got, and you can't make it, you can't make it better, you can't come to solution, that those are the moments and those are the times where you need somebody bigger and greater and stronger than you, and you need faith. You need to trust in God. When we comprehend, we cancel trust in anything other than our own knowledge. And if you like, understanding could be putting God under a microscope, but now faith is actually God putting you under his microscope and saying, "Okay then, let's see who you are." More than that, knowing the answer, God says, "Okay, let me help you discover who you can be with my help, with my plan for your life." And we need to begin to seek to understand God with the knowledge that we will never truly understand and fathom the depths of him. You're saying, "Gordon, that's crazy. Why would I bother?" Because regardless of where we get to in God and the revelation of his love and of who he is and the characteristics of God, the reality is that there is always, always more in God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 21, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, he says this, start verse 16, he says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power to together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Words that talk about the undefined, unquantifiable reality of God's love, but an invitation to know the love that surpasses all knowledge and understanding. That's the invitation from God this morning. Regardless of how much we think that we can work God out, we can't. And do you know why we can't? Because Isaiah chapter 55 tells us that we can't. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we should take great comfort if at times that we don't understand what's going on, at times and moments we're saying, "God, what's occurring and what's happening here?" We should take great comfort that saying, "Do you know what? By faith, I'm going to trust and say, God, you're in charge. God, you control. My ways aren't your ways. Your ways aren't my ways. I don't understand. I don't get it all. But what I do know is that I can trust you for the next step. Whether that next step is a step along the road, or whether you feel that next step is getting out the boat, to use the imagery we used earlier on, or the image of stepping off the little platform and taking a great big leap of faith, that we can trust that God is with us, that we can trust that God is for us. I think the writer to the Hebrews wants us going back to Genesis and discovering that the God who creates, and the God of the universe who creates out of nothing, because he is the God of the impossible, but it's also the place where we encounter the Holy Spirit. You see, in Genesis chapter 1, it says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Even in the waters in the Bible times would be a place of chaos, a place of disruption, a place where even there would be disorder, and where demons would be and would be thought to reside and to be. And yet there we see the Spirit of God hovering over it. And in places where you think that there is chaos, in places where you think it's so much darkness and things that are unformed, that we will just be able to trust in God as we take that leap of faith, that he is with us. And in that moment, and at that moment, that we will encounter the Spirit of the living God. You know, generally, there are three types of learning. I'm sure they could be split into lots of different subsections, but reading, practice, experience. And in reading, you're asked to reflect and to take in knowledge. In practice, you're asked to do what you've learned and understand and experience the things that just come at you in life that just add into who you are. And in God, we've got reading and reflection. That's why God gave us the Bible. We've got practice. That's the call to discipleship, this day by day, living for Jesus and living according to his word and according to his teaching. And experience, why God gives us the Holy Spirit to encounter him in the present tense, in the here and now. So it's not just theory, but it's actual practice. It's living out our faith with his help and with his power. All of this builds our faith in the here and now. It enables us to know what we believe, to enable us to be thrilled by who God is and by his love, to get to know him better, to become aware of who we are in God, and to be aware of his promise and his purpose for our life. That as we do that, then we learn in this way, we understand and comprehend, that it prevents us from stepping into heresy, into wrong belief, that it causes us to love God more, that we can begin to understand the days that we live in, the signs of the times according to the Scripture. According to Scripture, we're living in the last days. And to see God and perhaps in our past situations through the lens of Scripture and through his Holy Spirit, where we're seeing his spoken and his written word fulfilled in our lives. The DNA of the world changer will have an experience and an understanding of the impossible. And you know, there is nothing more impossible than the God who creates out of nothing. Ex nihilo. Speaks of the God who speaks the word and things are created. What are the DNA qualities in God that need to be evident in you to change your world? Let me suggest just three to you. The sovereign God, the supernatural God, and the sustaining God. The DNA of the world changer that is within you is an understanding, an encounter, a revelation, a relationship with the sovereign God, the God who is in charge. Take confidence today, especially as we go into this week of all weeks, that He is the sovereign God. He is the God who is in charge, the God who is bigger, greater, stronger, holy, who stands outside of time. But yet in His Son Jesus steps into time and steps into reality. That He is God, Lord God Almighty, that He's in charge. Whatever you're facing, however big a situation it is, that He is sovereign, that He is in charge. Number two, that He is a supernatural God, that He's the God who isn't just in charge and kind of sets it back and say, I'll come back and see how it gets on later, that He's the God who is in control, the God who speaks and things are created. The God who speaks and things change. The God who speaks and things come into order. The supernatural God. What might the supernatural God and the DNA of your world changer want to speak and bring into your life and situation? And what might you want to speak into your situation? You know, the Bible speaks that we've got the power in our tongue to bring blessings and curses to people. An authority that Jesus had, where He spoke healing, He spoke freedom into people's lives, and that we have that same authority when we pray in the name of Jesus. We pray and we speak out with all the authority and the backing of our Heavenly Father. That was a chance for an amen. All the backing and all the authority of our Heavenly Father. Amen. We do. And not just in theory, but in practice. Jesus spoke and things happened. The sovereign God, the supernatural God, the sustaining God, the God who cares about His creation, the world. Doug referred to that earlier on in speaking from Romans, and how creation is a signpost that points towards a Savior. But the God who not doesn't care about His creation global, but He also cares about His creation, you and me. The God who set this world in motion knows everything about you. The Bible talks about Him knowing the number of hairs in your head. That before a thought is on your heart, then He perceives it and He knows it. He knows where you're at. The Bible says whether you're in the mountaintop or whether you feel as though you're in the very depths of the pit, He knows where you are. He knows who you are. And God is concerned about you. God is concerned about how you are, and God is concerned about how you're doing, and God is concerned about your relationship with Him. He sustains. He cares about His creation. He provides materially. Everything that we've got comes from our provider that is God. But He's also made provision for us, not just materially, but provision for His eternity. See, God doesn't just leave us to our own devices. When we were far from Him, Jesus came. Jesus died on the cross. The just for the unjust, the godly for the ungodly. That God demonstrate His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, the Bible says that Christ died for us. That's good news. God didn't just leave you to try and work it out or to try and scratch your head. God made a way for you to be forgiven of your past, forgiven of your wrong, connected to God, and He did it through His Son who came and who laid down His life. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. And Jesus, the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. I think maybe that's again why the writer to Hebrews wants to take us back into Genesis to help us discover the fact that here is that God's great big rescue plan for history and humanity. And we read about it in Genesis after Adam and Eve mess up. The serpent's head will be bruised. God provides a way, pointing to Jesus, pointing to His death, pointing to His resurrection, pointing to the relationship that we can have with Him, to the fact that God does not write you off. You can get to know Him. So how can this change your world? Well, you've got the DNA of a world changer because you've got the spiritual DNA of the world creator within you. Father God's power is within you through the reality of the Holy Spirit and through your relationship with Jesus, which means that every problem, every situation, every person, whether it be somebody natural, whether it be angels, whether it be demons that you face, is part of God's creation, and they are not bigger than God. And the God of the impossible invites you to make your impossible God's possible. As you come and you bring your life before Him, you bring your situation before Him, you bring your circumstance before Him, you bring your life before Him, whether it be good, bad, or indifferent, and you say, Lord, can you make sense of this? Lord, can you help me get through this? God, I want to know your best in my life, but right now it seems to be I'm hemmed in at every side. It seems as though the walls are just pressing in and crushing me down and down and down, and saying, every problem, every situation not bigger than the God of the impossible. The God who speaks the word and things that were not come into being. What do you need that needs a revelatory word from God? What do you need that needs to know His creative power and His creative majesty speaking in and breaking in and creating a new day? And what it is over your life that God maybe wants to come and say, do you not just that it's good, but that it's very good. The God who isn't just distant creator, but the God who is Father and who's up close and personal. Maybe He wants to give you that revelation today. The words that you speak in faith and by faith have a powerful creative authority in the name of Jesus. So when you pray with somebody, in the name of Jesus isn't just a nice wee ending because you've run out of things to say, but you're communicating the power and the authority and the backing of heaven into that situation that will bring God's change, it will bring God's new and fresh thing into that person's life. And church, as DNA of world changers, we need to bring that. To a world that is dying, to a world that is hopeless, we need to bring that. The authority of God that brings change into people's lives. And you carry that because you've got the DNA of the world changer. We've got a largely secular society and elements of the scientific community who would want to dismiss and dispel the God of beginnings. Because if they dispel the God of beginnings, they don't need to consider the God of the end of days. See, the DNA of the world changer isn't just shaped by a faith for tomorrow. It's also shaped by a faith in the God of their past. A God who forgives their past. A God who wipes out all the wrong things that they've done. A God who gives them a hope. And a God who gives them a future. And I just wonder, what situations and circumstances might you be facing today that need the God of beginnings to come and bring His beginning in your life? What stuff are you facing where you need God to bring change? Where you need God to speak His word into your life, into your circumstance, into your situation? Are there situations that are around about you that are too big for you and that you need to go back and remind yourself that, you know what? God is in charge, that He is sovereign, that He is supernatural, and He does sustain me in my life. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. I'm going to invite Doug and the band to come back, please. In a few moments, we're going to leave this place with praise and rejoicing and celebration. But only you know where you're living at this moment in time. Physically and spiritually. But you know what? God knows. And today, whether you feel as though that you're in the boat and God's calling you out, whether you feel as though that you are on the tiny little platform with no one else surrounding you and nothing else around about you and no way out other than to take a leap, God wants to know that He's with you. In the middle of the situation, the middle of the circumstance, the middle of the waves, that He is with you. And this morning, if you're facing some things where you need to know God's new beginning, where you need to know God's genesis for your life, where this morning you maybe need to encounter the sovereign, supernatural, sustaining God, I'm just going to invite you to stand. And standing, you're saying, Gordon, would you include me in a prayer this morning? I'm not going to call you forward. But if you need to encounter God in that way, I invite you to stand right now and we're going to pray. And in standing, that is your step of faith. It's saying, God, I'm going to be real. God, I'm going to be honest. I wonder, do you need God to break in order that He may break out? Maybe you're considering things of faith today. Maybe you know God's hand and God's call is on your life, but you've resisted that up until now. I'd like to include you in that prayer. Maybe for the first time today, you're beginning to uncover and discover that God loves you and that God is for you. So in just two seconds time, I'm going to pray. If you'd like to be included in that prayer because of things that's going on in your life, things that's facing you, facing your future, but you need to maybe visit your past and God's past, I invite you to stand if you would like prayer this morning. I'm just going to wait on you for a second if you need to pray. Need to stand. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Father, you see hearts. You see lives. You see real people standing with real situations, real problems, real circumstances. And Father, I pray right now for a revelation in their hearts and lives of the God who speaks out of nothing and things are created. The Lord, maybe right now where there seems to be no way, that Father, right now that you would bring your way. Father, where there's maybe been an enemy, where there's been a situation that's come and that's pressed against them hard, looks as though it's going to rob them, destroy them, break them. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for your breakthrough to come now, for a new beginning and a new day in the name of Jesus. Father, I want to pray over these people right now a revelation of the God who is sovereign, the God who is in charge. And Lord, as they're standing, Lord, they're submitting and saying, Lord, you are in charge. Father, I pray for a revelation of the God who is supernatural, the God who's in control. And Lord, right now, the steering wheel of their life, they take their hands off it, they get out of the driving seat and they move into the passenger seat. And they allow you, Holy Spirit, to lead them, to guide them, to drive their life in this journey. And Father, I pray right now for a revelation of the God who sustains them, that they know right now that it's not been their own strength that they've got here and got to this point, but Lord, you have been with them. You've provided, you've made a way. And Lord, I pray that they would face this week with that understanding that the God of the past leads them into their future. And that he will be sovereign, that he will be supernatural, and that he will be sustaining them. And Father, we pray that over our whole congregation today, Lord God, as we have the DNA of world changers, Lord, I speak it over us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I call it forth and out of people's lives in the name of Jesus, that this week there are going to be opportunities to demonstrate the sovereignty of God, to demonstrate the supernatural giftings and qualities of God, and they're going to demonstrate the sustaining power of God in people's lives beyond the four walls of this church, Lord God. I pray it and I ask it in the name of Jesus. Lord, let us discover and uncover the authority that you've given us. Let us mobilize and let us move in it, Lord. I pray and ask it. Empower us, Holy Spirit, right now. And Father, I pray for anybody in this place who hasn't yet got faith, who doesn't have that now faith, who is considering the things of Lord Jesus Christ, who perhaps for the first time is hearing that Jesus loves them, and that Jesus died for them, and Jesus took the place and the punishment of all their sin and wrongdoing. And Father, I pray that as they reach out to you and pray a prayer that says, Lord God, thank you that you've made a way for me to be rescued. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for all my wrong things, for my sin. Lord Jesus, I put my trust and put my faith in you. I want to live for you for the rest of my life. And Lord, as they pray a prayer like that, then Father, I thank you as begin to walk day by day, following you, trusting you with their everything. And Lord, they're with you. They're a child of God. They're forgiven. They're experiencing now faith in the DNA of world changers that's theirs in Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would help them in the name of Jesus. So Lord, as we leave this place, as we worship, as we praise, we celebrate going out today. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that we would go empowered by your Holy Spirit, strengthened in your love, and committed to bring your kingdom to the city and to beyond. Lord, I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If there's anything particular you need prayer for, please grab a hold of me at the end and love.